Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 40 degrees under overcast skies. Today is Wednesday, October 19th, 2011. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Sitkins lined Lincoln Street for the annual Alaska Day Parade yesterday. The parade comes at the end of a week-long festival that commemorates the 1867 date when Russia transferred Alaska to the United States. For many, it's also a celebration of the state itself and of living in it. KCAW's Ed Ronco sent back this audio postcard from the parade route.
Hi, my name is Stuart Pook, and I love living in Alaska because of many, many things. One would be, snowboarding. Another would be my family of faith. There at Grace Harbor, and the other would just be the family atmosphere that pervades Southeast especially.
My name is Lisa Brooks. I'm a registered nurse, and I absolutely love Alaska because I adore the rain and the clouds and the mist and the fish and the wonderful people of Sitka.
I'm Fred Reeder. Full-time, long-time resident of Sitka, and I love Alaska. I love the people. I actually love the weather most times of the year, and I like celebrations like Alaska Day.
Why do you like Alaska Day?
Yeah, it brings community together. It's raining, and you got almost everybody in town, and everybody's talking to one another. It's a wonderful time of the year.
I'm Betsy Gamble, and I love living in Alaska because it's so relaxing.
I've been here since July. I'll be here till January. And I love living in Alaska because everyone is incredibly friendly, much friendlier than where I'm from.
Where are you from?
Florida.
And I'm Michelle Tyner, and I'm from Texas, and I love living in Alaska because this place is the best. It's a soul healer. That's what I like about it.
It is a soul healer. That's absolutely true. It is a soul healer.
I'm Cody. This is my daughter, Mia. And the view is awesome and just like having family around and being able to go fishing and hunting all the time, so that's always good reasons to be around.
My name is Helena Lee Rose, and this is my dad named Joshua. We have great food, and my dad catches deer to eat.
Oh, I'm Josh, and I guess I like a lot of things about living in Alaska, but it started out because there wasn't a lot of people here, you know? Seems like people have a way of messing up the places they live in too good. So I stayed here for the lack of population, and now I like it here because there's good money.
Liz Howard.
And what do you like about living in Alaska?
This is home. That's it. This is home. My family is here.
Sounds from along the parade route at yesterday's Alaska Day celebration. The parade included a pipe and drum group from Seattle, the Arctic Warrior Army Band, native songs and dances, and musicians from Blatchley Middle School and Sitka High School. You can see an audio slideshow of the parade on our website, kcaw.org. The Alaska Marine Highway System could be another casualty of federal budget battles. Money used to repair and maintain the aging ferry fleet could become much tighter in the near future. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The small ferry Lacandi needs renovated crew quarters, upgraded wiring, and a new coat of paint, plus engine and other work. That'll cost nearly $9 million. The mainliner Columbia has to have new engines. That's expected to run around $25 million, and the list goes on. How does it get paid for? Ferry Chief Mike Neusel says a lot of the money comes from the U.S. government.
There is a real potential that our federal funding source will decrease, and we will need to make that up somehow, either through state general funds or changing the amount of maintenance that we do or saving money someplace else.
Neusel says the state gets about $17.5 million each year from the federal highway and transit agencies. A state match brings it up to about $22 million. Still, other appropriations come our way from Washington, D.C. Congress voted last month to extend highway funding, including marine highways, for another 6 months. And the program's formulas, including ferry set-asides, will remain. But that's expected to change. Alaska's congressional delegation is optimistic, but realistic.
Anything that's been subsidized by federal dollars is under a threat.
Representative Don Young is a member of the House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure. He's watching a ferry funding bill being pushed by Washington State Congressman Rick Larson. Young has co-sponsored similar measures in the past.
This time I didn't because I want a better formula for Alaska. And I've told him, and I said, you put my formula in there that we had before, I'd be very supportive of it.
There's also Senate ferry legislation. Senators Lisa Murkowski and Mark Begich co-sponsored the measure with Washington State's Patty Murray.
As one from the Pacific Northwest, she understands that ferries are not necessarily a luxury. This is not a cruise ship that you're putting your car on. This is our transportation system.
Murray is in a good position to support ferry funding. She chairs the transportation panel of the Senate Appropriations Committee, which assembles highway and ferry budgets. She also co-chairs Congress's Debt Reduction Supercommittee. Begich says the ferry bill may not pass on its own, but it could advance marine transportation.
Making sure we have a piece of legislation out there is critical, so we create kind of a marker that when we get into the highway transportation bill, this is one of the items that needs to be discussed.
The Parnell administration is also watching for funding declines, but it's not sounding the alarm.
The boats will be safe and in good condition to run.
Randy Ruaro is the governor's deputy chief of staff. He says the state may have to chip in more.
In the last several years, we've seen some supplemental requests for maintenance and rehabilitation work, and I think the legislature has approved those on each occasion.
Less federal money would bring more legislative requests. There's about $16 million for ferry terminals in Kodiak and Prince Rupert, $4.5 million for emergency evacuation slides. The list continues. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
The Alaska Public Radio Network's Libby Casey contributed to this story. You can learn more about ferry funding bills by visiting our website, kcaw.org, and following the links included with this report. Alaska's no stranger to reality television shows. We have them about gold, ice road, state troopers, crab fishing, and now the U.S. Coast Guard. The program is set to debut next month. KMXT's Jennifer Canfield has more.
Commanding officer of Kodiak Air Station, Captain Bill Deal, said people from the Weather Channel called him earlier this year with the idea for the aptly titled Coast Guard Alaska.
They wanted to do a kind of a documentary series type thing on the Coast Guard, and they figured that the best place to do that would be in Alaska, where the missions are interesting and the weather is challenging.
The production crew has been in Kodiak since May. Producer J.P. Saladin says the show will be less about the interpersonal drama audiences have come to expect from so-called reality television and more about day-to-day operations of the Coast Guard in the last frontier.
I think it's sort of what people expect from a grand northern mysterious part of the country is what we're trying to capture, and then, of course, how these professional, very professional people deal with it and deal with a lot of things that are somewhat treacherous and can be dangerous and risky, and do it in a way that's often very successful.
Deal says that before the production crew were allowed to film, they had to make sure their cameras wouldn't interfere with the Coast Guard's instrumentation. And then there was the possibility of something going wrong on a mission.
We have some pretty rigid rules in the Coast Guard about what types of electronic equipment we can have on board. That was the first thing. And then before they went flying with us, we had to make sure that all their crews were trained in egressing procedures. If we had had any type of emergency, that they would be able to kind of take care of themselves and not be a liability.
Alaskans might even recognize footage in the show from recent events in the news. Just last week, a boat was stranded due to mechanical failures 10 miles north of Egigik. The boat's owner tried to contact friends to tow him, but the seas were too rough, so he called the King Salmon Police, who then contacted the Coast Guard. By the time the Coast Guard helicopter arrived, the boat had made it to land, but the passengers were nowhere to be found. Saladin and his crew weren't allowed to go on the mission until later, but he recalls what he heard over the radio when the rescuers first found the boat.
And it was just almost sort of a Twilight Zone thing. The boat had clearly had just been occupied within a few hours. A woman's purse was on it with her cigarettes, and no one was to be found.
Eventually, Saladin and his crew were allowed to go to the scene on a C-130 that went to support the mission. After several hours, the boat's stranded passengers were found safe in a cabin. Saladin says the whole operation was fascinating to watch.
That was really exciting. It was a very long case and took several hours for everybody to figure out what was going on. It was kind of had an element of mystery to it. You got to really also see the C-130 and the H-60s working together, and the personnel in them can make a mission like that happen with a lot of different moving parts.
Deal says that the production crew has gone on just about every mission they've done in the last few months. He joked with them that there is more fun to be had come February should they decide to extend the series.
Now you've seen what we do in great weather, you're going to come back and see us do it in nasty weather too, aren't you? And they say, well, you know, the excuse I'm getting is it's dark a lot up there. We just can't film in the dark.
The show, which will include footage from Kodiak, Sitka, Ketchikan, Cordova, and the Bering Sea, is scheduled for 6 episodes, with the first airing on November 9th. In Kodiak, I'm Jennifer Canfield.
The superintendent of the Anchorage School District is among the 10 recipients of this year's Governor's Awards for the Arts and Humanities. Awards are scheduled to be presented today in Anchorage. Superintendent Carol Como, who plans to retire next year, is set to receive a shared Arts and Humanities Award for her support for arts education. Other honorees include Marion Allen, Arthur William, Bill Brody, Mike Powers, Ray Barnhart, and Oscar Quagley of Fairbanks, Jeff Brown of Juneau, Tom Haywood of Haines, Mike McCormick of Eagle River, and Jim Reardon of Homer. Quagley's award will be presented posthumously. So in weather forecast today for Sitka and PA, calls for mostly cloudy skies, scattered rain showers, highs around 47, light winds becoming west to 10 miles per hour in the afternoon. This is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.